What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Alrighty, so Merrick Garland, contemptible. Held in contempt by the Republican-controlled House. Narrowly, it was a 216 to 207 vote with one Republican lawmaker, David Joyce of Ohio, joining all of the Democrats in voting no. There were eight total non-voting members, seven Democrats and one Republican. So almost enough, if all seven had been 214, 215, no, they still would have lost. Okay, so there was no way that this thing was not going to pass with the 216 in support. And at issue is Merrick Garland, the U.S. Attorney General, Merrick Garland's refusal to provide the audio recording of the interview that Joe Biden sat for with Robert Hur. Don't know his pronouns, but he was the special counsel that was investigating Joe Biden's unlawful possession of classified documents. Joe Biden was not allowed to take the documents that were found in his possession, right, at his house, in the box, next to the Corvette, which he really loves the Corvette. That was what they told us. Like, it's in the garage with his Corvette. He would never let anything. It's not like it was an unsecured location. He would never let anything happen to his Corvette, except, you know, his crackhead son to drive it. But other than that, oh, who was also, by the way, the son's also in business with like some pretty nefarious like oligarchs and stuff and some pretty bad people from all around the world that are paying him money for totally non-access to his dad, who was vice president at the time. We don't even know all of the documents when they were taken because Joe Biden has been in Congress. He's been a U.S. senator since birth. So he's got like a record going back 130 years or so. So he had all of these documents and don't know how he got them, don't know what they were. He had them in boxes. He moved them all around. They were at his office at UPenn when he wasn't professing. He was, he was a practicing professor, which isn't an actual professor. That's why they call it a practicing professor. He's still learning. But he just basically did Q&As. I went over this yesterday. So Joe Biden's got all the documents, and it comes to light after they raided Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort home, right? And then, of course, remember at the time, do you remember these days? I'm old enough to remember when, like, all of a sudden everybody was like, oh, whoa, whoa, I've got some I've got some classified documents too. Like, right and left, people are just dumping all of the documents. Take them. Hey, oh, I forgot I have these. And isn't it amazing how nobody ever thought to say, how did you get those? You're not supposed to have ever taken them out of the skiff, right? You were the sensitive, compartmented information facility, the skiff, where you go and you look at the stuff. You're not supposed to burglar those things. You're not supposed to take those out of the skiff. This isn't the National Archives. You don't work for Bill Clinton. You don't get to stuff this stuff down your pants and into your socks and then destroy the evidence that, you know, you missed all these warning signs for 9/11. It's different. This is the skiff. All right. So last month, two Republican-led House committees passed resolutions recommending that Merrick Garland be held in contempt for withholding the audio tapes of that interview with special counsel Robert Hur over the mishandling of classified documents. And again, the mishandling is the taking of the documents from the skiff, which you're not allowed to do, and then the retaining the documents. And then, of course, there's the aspect that Joe Biden wrote a book and referred to some of the classified material to his ghostwriter, was talking about it. They have the recording of that, but we're not allowed to have the recording of the interview. And Garland flat out refused to hand over the audio recording of the interview. Here is what he said yesterday.
The Justice Department is a fundamental institution of our democracy. People depend on us to ensure that our investigations and our prosecutions are conducted according to the facts and the law and without political influence.
Good one. That's funny.
We have gone to extraordinary lengths to ensure that the committees get responses to their legitimate requests.
Oh, legitimate.
But this is not one.
Ah.
To the contrary, this is one that would harm our ability in the future to successfully pursue sensitive investigations.
What?
Now, there have been a series of unprecedented and frankly unfounded attacks on the Justice Department. This request, this effort to use contempt as a method of obtaining our sensitive law enforcement files is just the most recent. The effort to threaten to defund our investigations and the way in which there are contributions to an atmosphere that puts our agents and our prosecutors at risk.
This is, okay, you know what this reminds me of? So I hate this. This reminds me of every budget cycle when local officials say we have to raise your taxes. And everybody's like, well, not everybody, but a lot of people are like, oh, no, don't raise our taxes. I'm like, well, you got to raise our taxes. We have to raise your taxes, I should say. We need the increase or else you're not going to get police. You're not going to get fire. No fire protection. Sorry. Call for an ambulance. They're just not going to show. Like that. This is how they extort you. And that's what he's doing right here. This is blackmail, right? This is, oh, how dare you provide oversight? That's what he's essentially saying. How dare you provide oversight? This is not a legitimate request, and it's going to jeopardize all of these other investigations that we may be doing in the future. Well, would you be releasing the transcripts of those interviews in the future? See, to me, you've already lost the argument. Merrick Garland has already lost this argument. The White House has already lost. And the reason they lost was because they were trying to prove that Joe Biden is not, in fact, an elderly man with a bad memory, right? In order to prove that he is not an elderly man at the age of 81 with a bad memory, where he just makes up, I guess he's just a liar, but whatever, they released the transcript, the White House did, of the interview in order to show that Special Counsel Robert Hur's conclusion, which was that Joe Biden is basically too old and senile to be prosecuted because no jury would convict him because he's too sympathetic. And that angered Joe Biden. He went out and did that press conference, which made it even worse because he went out there and got all shouty, old man yells at sky kind of thing. And then people were like, wait a minute. So you're saying you are of sound mind to be prosecuted? Because that's the other option here, right? If Special Counsel Robert Hur said he's not going to prosecute, even though he found that you had unlawfully mishandled this stuff, but the reason why he's not bringing charges is because even if you were to wait until after he's out of office, because he wouldn't bring charges against a sitting president because constitutional crisis and all of that, but he would look to bring charges after you get out of office, whether it's, you know, next year or 4 years down the road, whatever the case may be. Your argument was, no, I am of sound mind. I'm not an elderly man with a bad memory. Well, then, okay, let's file some charges and we'll make them contingent upon you leaving the White House. But that's what you want. That's what you're saying. Oh, no, you'll fight those charges, too. You just don't like the characterization of you as an elderly man with a bad memory. So they release a transcript. And at that point, you don't have any logical reason to say that you can withhold the audio recording, particularly when you have said also that you edited the transcript, right? That you took out, quote, filler words. I understand Republicans want to use this in campaign material. That's what Democrats are saying. That is not executive privilege, though. You don't get to claim executive privilege for the audio of a transcript you've already released because you're afraid somebody may use it to make you look like an elderly man with a bad memory in the campaign. That's not executive privilege, folks. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? All right, so one thing to keep in mind also on the White House, this game that they're playing about the release of the audio is that it is entirely possible that the audio recording does not redound to the benefit greatly for Republicans, that it's not that bad, that Joe Biden is not that bad in the interview. I'm not saying he's performing well, but for Joe Biden, it would be good enough. That is a possibility here. And the reason I say that is Obama's birth certificate. You remember all of that? And then after years of speculation and birtherism and all of that stuff, what were they able to finally do? They then produce the document. And they're like, haha, see that? You guys have been engaged in conspiracy theories all of this time, whatever. And they could have simply released the information right at the beginning, but they allowed it to continue because it made their opponents look stupid. That was their strategy. This is in line with the Obama strategy. They called it the stray voltage strategy, which is, this was explained to Major Garrett by one of the Obama aides at the time. I'm going back now, 2008, 2009, 2010 timeframe. But they did this throughout his entire tenure, which was to recognize that there is always a certain amount of sort of political energy in the atmosphere, right? And just like there's always energy in the atmosphere and you're walking around and you go and you touch the doorknob and bzz, you get a little bit of a shock, right? And you're surprised, rather than allow the shock to surprise you, you direct the energy someplace that won't hurt you. Stray voltage. So you allow that energy to build around something and you just zap it when you want to and you direct the focus over to this other thing. And that was the birth certificate stuff. They allowed it to continue because it directed all of this energy away from the true scandals of the Obama era, like his tan suit. By the way, just to clean up the record on that one, it was not the right that made a deal about his suit at the one press event. That was not the right. That was the left. The left noted, look at Obama. He's wearing a tan suit. Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. Oh, I bet the right wing is going to go crazy over this. Oh, I bet they did. I bet they did. Oh, they did. They did. They did. And that became the narrative. They wanted it to be true, so they made it true. When the legend becomes truth, print the legend, right? So the legend was that people on the right were all outraged that Barack Obama wore a tan suit at the press briefing. And nobody on the right cared. I saw nothing about it ever until the left said the right made a big deal about it. And now today you've got people running around. You got people on TV saying that that was the biggest scandal of the Obama era, which was it's just asinine. All right. So stray voltage theory. It is possible. So just keep that in the back of your mind that this audio may not actually be as damaging as Democrats think it might be. It's a Pete tweet. Gary says, no public appearance or speaking by Biden would inspire confidence. I think the left is getting desperate. They thought the court cases would be a death knell for Trump. Instead, it seems like Trump is gaining momentum in the polling. Russ says, To me, mishandling documents sounds more like, you know, not putting the paperclip back on it or getting a coffee ring on the papers that you're supposed to have access to, right? Intentionally taking documents that you aren't authorized to and storing them in unsecured places is much, much worse than just mishandling. I would agree with that, Russ. And the hellion believes that Merrick Garland is faking the hoarse voice, his raspy voice. Let me see here. I had a, oh yeah. Nathaniel, a Democrat troll here. He says, this must really be a slow news day if you are going right and left over President Obama's tan suit. So sad. Yes. Your email is sad. Yes, Nathaniel, it is. And if you thought that the first half hour of the program was about Obama's tan suit, well, get the podcast because you can go back and listen. We've been actually covering something else. And actually, the point of the tan suit story was about narrative crafting. And that's what we are seeing in this fight over the release of audio of the Joe Biden interview with Special Counsel Robert Hur. Right? The left has a narrative that they are trying to advance, and Nathaniel is carrying the water for them on it, which is Joe Biden is fine, Donald Trump is terrible, you don't need to hear the audio, the transcript is enough. In fact, let's go back to Merrick Garland and pick up, we've got about a minute and a half left of his comments, and he did not take any questions, he just made this statement after he was, I don't want to say found in contempt, because there's no court that did that, it was the House of Representatives that voted to hold him in contempt for refusing to give over the audio of the interview after they've already given the transcript over to the House and said that they have done editing in the transcript, which is why the Republicans now want the audio, because the White House is contesting the conclusion that Robert Hur came to. I hope I spelled that out clearly enough for you, Nathaniel. Okay.
These are wrong. Look, the only thing I can do is continue to do the right thing. I will protect this building and its people.
There you go. I'm protecting that building and its people.
You kind of answered this just now.
Oh, I'm sorry. He did take the question.
You know, what this combined with the efforts to defund Jack Smith and the other attacks on Biden administration officials say about, you know, the broader effort to discredit you and to discredit the Justice Department. And also, how would you manage that? How are you resisting that? And what can
Oh, my God. What, like, is this like somebody from his comm shop? That's an adversarial press kind of question? Of course not. What's the question? The question is, tell us how bad Republicans suck. That's what that question is. Let me give you another opportunity to say the same thing you just said about how awful Republicans are and how dare they demand this audio.
What do you do about that as Attorney General?
Look, we have to go about our work.
Do the right thing. We're
just they said we keep doing the right facts thing. And the law. We screen out outside inappropriate influences. That's what we're doing here. We're protecting our ability to continue to do high-profile and sensitive investigations, and we will continue to do that.
You know, like the Steele dossier, like that. That whole, right, yeah, exactly. They need to be able to preserve the ability to do that kind of stuff, I guess.
Mr. Perry, last question.
Last question.
It now seems...
They got two.
The odds now seem vanishingly small that the two Jack Smith federal cases are going to begin trial, let alone finish trial, this year. What does that say about the pace of the justice system and confidence in this Justice Department?
Oh, my gosh. Again, why doesn't somebody ask him, how can you claim executive privilege? Like, ask the logical question as if he was a Republican. Just for... this one moment, you got a chance to ask him a question. Just pretend he's a Republican and ask him, why would you not release the audio if you've already released the transcript? What is the material difference? There is no material difference. That's been their position. But if there's no material difference, then there's no reason not to release the audio. Not at least under executive privilege reasons. This doesn't preserve your ability to conduct interviews.
The special counsel brought both cases last year. He appropriately requested speedy trials. The matter is now in the hands of the judiciary, and I'm not going to be able to comment any further.
So no comment on that. It's a wasted question. Congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations, reporter who asked a stupid question, and there are stupid questions, right? That, like, this reminds me of the kinds of stupid questions that sports reporters ask coaches. Talk a little bit about blah, blah, blah. Not a question, first of all. Not even a question. It's just, I need a sound bite. Stick a mic in your face. Hey, just talk for like 30, 45 seconds so I can get some audio. Thanks a lot. Reminds me of the Simpsons episode when Apu had his, eight kids? They had octuplets. And the media shows up on, to do the story about, oh, wow, you had eight babies. It's a news story. And they ask him to say something. And I think it's something like, do you think eight is enough? And he says, oh, yes. They're like, no, say it. We need the soundbite. Oh, eight is enough. And then, of course, they rush out because somebody else down the hall just had nine babies. So now he got scooped because now eight is nothing. So they run down the hall and stick the cameras in that couple's face. And they're like, would you say you're on cloud nine? And that couple says, we're on cloud nine. And like, darn, they even have a better slogan than we do. And then they got all the free diapers. Oh, the Simpsons. Way ahead of their time. Despite the successful contempt vote, says NBC News, it's largely a political exercise because Biden and his administration have asserted executive privilege in refusing to hand over the audio, which all but eliminates the possibility that Garland would be prosecuted for ignoring the subpoenas. It's also unheard of for the Justice Department prosecutors to go after the head of their own agency. Right. So they came out yesterday. And they were like, we have determined that we are totally fine in ignoring this. We're on the right side here. We impartially adjudicated as such. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, he spoke at a press conference yesterday. He said that the audio recordings of this interview between Special Counsel Robert Hur and Joe Biden may not only hold key evidence pertaining to an impeachment probe against the president, but also may prove that the transcript of the interview may have been altered in order to help Joe Biden.
Last September, the Speaker of the House announced that the House of Representatives would be entering an impeachment inquiry phase of our oversight work. On December 13th, the full House of Representatives voted to do just that, to formalize that. This is a power that is exclusively resides in the House of Representatives, and one of the most important powers that we have as an institution and as a body. Robert Hur, on page one of his special counsel report, said Joe Biden knowingly kept classified information, Joe Biden knowingly disclosed classified information, and he disclosed that information to someone who wasn't allowed to get it. Page 231, he told us why Joe Biden did those things. He said Joe Biden had strong motivations for ignoring classified procedures because he was writing a book for which he got paid $8 million. So we have motive. An $8 million motive. We have the elements of the crime, knowingly keeping, knowingly disclosing, giving that information to someone who wasn't allowed to get it. We have all that, and yet the special counsel said he would not recommend charges for President Biden. We think we're entitled to, we know we're entitled to all the evidence, and that includes the best evidence, which is this audio tape. That's why we sent the subpoena. The attorney general's been clear he's not going to give that information to us. So, that's why we have the contempt resolution. We assume this is going to wind up in court, but we think our case is strong and we think that we will prevail. But step one is to pass the resolution holding the attorney general in contempt for not giving the House of Representatives, the body who's in an impeachment inquiry phase of our oversight responsibilities, not giving us the best evidence. Finally, I would just say this. We think the privilege has already been waived. We think when they gave us the transcript, they've waived the privilege. And understand that there have already been times where the transcript that we've received from the White House doesn't match up with what was actually said by the President of the United States. And so, again, for all those reasons, we think we need this information, and that's why the resolution will be on the floor.
All right, so that's Jim Jordan explaining why they want the audio. And I agree with him that the White House has already waived executive privilege by releasing a transcript of the interview. unless you're going to say that there is information that was covered in the interview that was not in the transcript, right? Which the White House denies. They say it's there was just some filler words. Then, no, you got to release the audio. It's just, it's logic. And the fact that they're fighting this indicates to me either it's a trap, right? It's the stray voltage strategy at play, which I tend not to believe that to be the case. I think they just got jammed up because Joe Biden went out and spoke after the release of the special counsel's report. When Robert Hur put it out there and he said, you know, Joe Biden did these things, but we're not going to prosecute because he would be viewed as a sympathetic elderly man with a bad memory. And he got mad at that and said, don't you take away my car keys. I can still drive. They then released the transcript in order to prove that he's totally fine. Look at him. He sat for all of these hours on October 7th and 8th dealing with international crisis. Remember all of that? Showing like, oh, he runs circles around all of us and we're in our 20s. We mere staffers to Joe Biden and his boundless energy. He just trots everywhere and sniffs hair among all the people. I think they got jammed up. I think they tried to do this thing where like release the transcript and that shows that, you know, he's of sound mind and all of this. And then they're like, okay, well, wait a minute. You've just said now that the whole interview has been released. So let's hear it. And, oh, no, no, we can't let you hear it. Well, why not? And what it comes down to is they don't want people to hear Joe Biden's performance because they believe it will be politically damaging. That's why Republicans want it, obviously, because they, too, believe it will be politically damaging. But here's the thing. They actually have a legitimate reason to cite for having the White House turn it over, whereas the White House does not have an actual legitimate reason for saying no. That's the difference. Yeah, but what do I know, right? I'm just a little old radio host. I could just follow the logic. Yeah. By the way, the question that hangs over Hur's decision is whether the transcript matches the recording or whether it was altered before being publicly released. And that right there is enough reason to release it. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening and don't break anything while I'm gone.